You are listening to the Amen Corner, a JCast Network podcast. For more information about other JCast Network podcasts and blogs, please visit jcastnetwork.org. For more information about the Amen Corner, please follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and all your other favorite social media.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 22 of the Amen Corner. He's Stephen Cook.
And he's Brad Rothschild.
And we're back.
We are back.
We're back.
I don't know if we're better, but we're back.
No, we're definitely not better. Not better than ever, no.
Sorry for missing.
We're worse, yeah. I think we're worse.
I was on vacation.
Yeah, life is hard. Life is really tough.
So what's going on?
Well, let's see. We got the beginning of the baseball season.
Yanks are undefeated as we speak.
So far, so good.
They're
looking good. I'll tell you, it looked a little
shaky to start.
A little rough the first two innings of the first game. And then, of course, like every good Yankee fan, you just write the season off immediately. You're like, oh, that's it. I was texting people. I'm like, yep, they're in mid-season form already. Bouncing into double plays, just not scoring runs.
I get upset if it's not 100, if they don't go 162-0.
Yeah, I feel like we got spoiled.
Yeah.
And our expectation level was raised to the point where, and even Jeter said it himself, if we don't win the World Series, the season is a failure.
I know.
And that means that we can't enjoy anything.
Well, so that's why I've been enjoying the Rangers.
Oh, and the Knicks,
50, 20, and something. And the Knicks are good.
Yeah. But it's baseball season, and it's fucking freezing.
I was skiing, and I pulled up behind this guy who's wearing a Mark Messier jersey while skiing. I go,
I'm guessing, here we go, Range.
It wasn't Messier, look.
I'm guessing that he was not younger than 58 years old.
No, he was like our age. He was totally our age.
Yeah. Seriously, you want to show your age? That's what you should do.
He turned around and I'm like, here we go, Rangers. Here we go.
And he's like, imagine there's another New Yorker here on the ski slopes in Colorado. Who would have thought that?
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of New Yorkers.
No. No.
People from everywhere.
Yeah, but I mean,
Texans.
New Yorkers. Yeah.
Really fun. Yeah. Really fun. Great time. I can't believe I made it.
You made it.
I know. I got COVID.
Which is ridiculous.
I had COVID for like a day.
But you didn't let that get in your way, which is good.
Hey, man. It's the new CDC guidelines. It's how you feel. It's a state of mind.
Yeah, it's a state of mind. So you don't care if you're contagious or, I mean, it's how you feel.
I mean, it's an outdoor activity.
Yeah,
I stayed away from people inside, but then I didn't have fever.
I guess that's
after a day. I'd like COVID for a day, seriously.
Yeah, but I could hear like you've been sniffling and you're coughing, no, and
I feel like I had a cold, but I don't feel bad.
But it's lingering because you were away for like a week.
I've been away for 2 weeks.
No, but we had COVID like a week ago.
Oh yeah.
So it's not.
I'm certain I got it on the plane from the lady sitting in front of me who horked and coughed and sneezed for 16 hours from Hong Kong to New York. I put on a mask. She wasn't wearing a mask.
Damn her.
Anyway.
Do you really think it was her?
I don't know. I don't really know.
You don't know. But, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
It really doesn't. Like how you got it is irrelevant.
Exactly. It used to feel like a failing when you got it.
Right, as if like you had sex with a wild animal and that's how it gets transmitted. Like, that's not how this works. Like, or you weren't clean enough, or you didn't wash your hands enough.
I was at this conference in Hong Kong and very few people wore masks.
I feel like, you know, we're 4 years out.
Right.
And I do see people on the subway, not a lot of people, but there are always a handful of people who are wearing masks on the subway. And certainly when you go to the airport,
right,
there are people wearing masks.
I wore a mask. With that person coughing and horking in front of me, I put my mask on. And then I wore a mask.
I don't even have one. I don't even travel with one.
No, I have. I always have one in my bag. I thought maybe for a while I was in my like business class pod that I would be safe.
Oh yeah, because rich people don't get COVID.
Right. No, no, no. But like, you're not crammed in next to someone. And the air circulation. But then I was like, that's probably not true. So let me put on my mask.
Yeah, I feel
and
like
then I wore a mask the whole way out in the airport and the whole way out to Colorado.
Well, you were sick already. So you knew you'd been exposed.
No. I've been masking on planes. Unlike you.
Interesting. Unlike
you. I'm a safetyist.
I'm not. I throw caution to the wind.
You lick subway poles?
I used to.
You're like, this is really warm and nice. I'm going to lick this subway pole.
You know, my position on germs and stuff used to be more absolutist in terms of like, no, I'm not afraid of getting anything. But then,
right.
And, you know, I would always tell Michelle, like, oh, you're so worried about everything and nothing is ever really going to happen.
Yeah.
And then my position sort of got weakened when I had cancer.
Right.
Because
right,
now
yeah.
It's like, well, you can't say shit anymore. Like, if I were you, I'd keep your mouth shut. So I don't lick the poles on the subway anymore.
Can I tell you that it's people are just gross, man.
What happened?
No, just whoa. Like, you know, isn't there like, you know, I'm skiing and I go in to pee and like people pee and then they don't wash their hands and I'm like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, that's always like you gotta like shake your head when you see people just heading right to the door and you're like,
huh. Like come on, man, how long does it take? I know the skiing's great. There's powder. There's 6 inches of powder. Takes 20 seconds to wash your hands.
Look, to take the contrarian viewpoint on this one, right?
Yeah.
You think like, you know, I showered this morning. I'm clean. Like, it's all good. I don't know.
Come on, man.
I'm with you, but I'm just giving you the devil's advocate. And if there's like, if you're not flushing anything anymore because it's no contact at the urinal.
Still, I just
you
find
know,
it.
I hear you, but I'm just saying like there's an argument on the other
my
side.
Gloves, it's going to kind of live there. I don't know. My hands get sweaty when I ski, no matter how cold it is outside. Just like, come on, man. Right,
but again, if you're practicing like, you know, some sort of general hygiene, like, you know, your private parts shouldn't be filthy.
I get it, but still.
I'm
I don't
just
know,
saying.
Man.
I'm just playing devil's advocate for
using
the non-hand washer.
Getting sweaty and gross. I don't know.
Well, what if it's the beginning of the day?
No, man, you wash your hands after you go to the bathroom, okay?
I'm with you.
Wash your hands.
I'm with you that one should. All I'm saying is that I'm sure there are people out there who can justify it in their own minds why they're not doing it. And hold on, to be clear.
Okay.
I always wash my
phone. Okay.
No. To be clear, just so we're on the same page here, don't misunderstand me. I always wash my fucking hands. But I'm saying that there's somebody out there who is justifying why they don't wash their hands after peeing. I'm not saying like the guy is taking a dump and then not washing his hands. I mean that, you know, that goes without saying. But so, like, I feel like there's like a line that some people are like, meh. It's only pee, and I didn't get any on my hand, and I just showered, and I'm clean down there. Like,
come on, man. Anyway, lots happened since I've been gone.
Yeah, we were saying, like, well, what's happened since you've been gone? And then you reminded me that there are a bunch of dead people.
There are a bunch of dead people.
So who do you want to talk about first? Which dead person?
I don't even want to talk about Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
Joe Lieberman.
Joe Lieberman.
First Yiddle to be on the major presidential ticket. 2000.
I will not name names, but one of my friends used to refer to him as Jewish Joe, the Democratic senator from Israel.
That's pretty funny.
It was funny, and it was unfortunately all too true. And then I had a discussion with another friend who's like, listen, I don't know what you think about Joe Lieberman. However, I will tell you that we don't have better health care because of him.
Like, the other thing we have, he was a huge advocate for, was the Department of Homeland Security, which is, to my mind, one of the worst creations in the post-9/11 environment. I mean, the country made a lot of mistakes after 9/11.
Yeah.
Piling on new bureaucracy on the intelligence community and then creating this whole new bureaucratic behemoth. It's like the next to the Pentagon, there's nothing bigger than the Department of Homeland Security that no Secretary of Homeland Security has been able to get their arms around. It's just an agency that has run amok and it has no coherence and is, but he was 100% in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that he was 100% in on to his dying day, apparently.
Invasion of Iraq.
Well, not only that. I mean, yes, he certainly didn't seem to have ever met a war that he wasn't interested in joining. The no labels party.
Oh, yeah.
He was working the phones up until last week, apparently, trying to find a candidate to run as a third party. And he left the Democratic Party years ago. Not fair to say that the Democratic Party left him. I think that
an independent, he still caucused with the Democrats.
Yeah, but I think I think he'd have more
ideas with Republicans by that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he fall? Is that what happened?
I think it was complications from a fall, is what they said. Yeah. Which could mean anything, right?
Like, and he lived in the Bronx. Head.
Riverdale, yeah. Yeah. So it's not like he lived in the South Bronx.
Yeah. where my mom grew up.
Right. No. He did not live on the Grand Concourse or near.
Right, the Grand Concourse.
He lived in
Allerton Riverdale. Avenue.
Yeah.
Gun Hill Road.
Yeah, no. That was not. Those were
but
not
meanwhile, I was. I'm tired because he's getting home. I was lying on the couch and I was watching one of the Sunday news programs.
Uh-huh.
And they were like extolling Joe Lieberman.
Which program and which host?
It was like a roundtable. It was the ABC one. It was Martha Raddatz was hosting today. You know, Stephanopoulos and John Karloff and.
So everybody was talking about like
how he's a great guy and.
He knew how to reach across the aisle, and he represented a different time in American politics.
Yeah,
where compromise wasn't a dirty word, and he was a real mensch, and everybody liked
him.
And then,
you could have been on the show program.
And then he took healthcare away from everybody.
Has there been like a discussion remembrance of Joe Lieberman without the word mensch being either written or
definitely,
mentioned?
Certainly not in the Jewish press.
No way. It's not possible. And then, like, you know, all these other people who want to show their bona fides, like the Rance Priebuses and Donna Brazils thrown in the Yiddish, you know.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard the name Rance Priebus in a while.
I hadn't seen him or heard him, but he was on this program.
I was kind of living my life and kind of being really happy without having thinking of him in a long time. But now... thanks to you, I'm reminded of how the Republican Party has been taken over by a bunch of Trump loyalists, like at the party level, and they're just siphoning money directly to Trump.
I don't know. Trump's daughter-in-law says they're not going to use the money to pay his legal bills. I mean, got to believe them. That's what she said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
I'm convinced of that. She made it clear it wasn't the policy of the RNC to pay his legal bills.
Good.
It's one less thing to worry about.
Yeah, now I can go back to not thinking about Rance Priebus.
Hey, I missed all the good stuff. Was it? He was selling Bibles?
Oh, yeah, you definitely missed that.
I missed that.
He's selling the Bible.
Trump Bibles?
Yes, and people are buying it.
Oh,
and apparently there's like, in addition to...
no backlash to this?
I mean, just, you know, people making fun of them, the usual suspects. But like,
no, but like evangelicals aren't like, geez, that's really messing with stuff now.
No, because they're, you know,
that's it. We're selling Torahs.
But it's not just the Bible that he's selling. They're also put in like the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and, you know, all the foundational documents for America to sort of link him and Christianity together.
Oh, my God.
And it's $59.99 for the Trump Bible. And you can buy one. Or you can buy more than one.
Oh, my God.
If you're buying a Bible from Trump, you're not.
How depraved are you?
You're not serious about your religion.
Yeah.
You're just not. No, you're just not.
You're just depraved. You're a fucking moron.
Or both. I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
You're a depraved moron.
You're a depraved moron.
I mean, you're a fucking idiot because you're paying $60 for a Trump Bible, like, in the first place.
And you can get a copy of the Constitution, like, free.
You can download one. You can pretty download. Sure that you can steal a Bible from any hotel room that you ever go to, also. Or any house of worship.
I didn't look in Hong Kong whether there was a Bible in my room.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Why do you think, and how did it start that they were putting, that they put Bibles in hotel rooms? Is it to get your mind off of porn? Like, what's the...
It's all like, kinds of depraved shit goes on in hotels. So I it's guess like, it's like you can redeem yourself after.
Listen, I again, I'm not making any assumptions about anybody. Okay. But you and I are just having a discussion here.
Just having a discussion.
You travel a decent amount. I travel a decent amount. Like, if you find yourself alone in a hotel room in a strange city, like, let's say 9:30 at night.
9:30 at night.
You're done with your work.
Dinner's over. Pick up
your shoes. TV is on in the background. Maybe, maybe not. You want to unwind. Again, your family's far away.
Yeah.
You know, you finish dinner. You know, you're hanging out.
Right.
You busting out the Bible?
No, I'm definitely not busting out the Bible.
Like, at that point, you say, like, you know what? I think scripture would help me right now. I mean, is that what you're saying when you're in the hotel room?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, some people, you know, like, what?
I have sinful thoughts right now. So instead of like calling the concierge and asking for a hooker, I'm going to read. I'm going to read the Bible until those thoughts
pass. I guess some people look at it like that. Like,
I'm sure that's
I'm going to take out scripture, and it is going to. It's my guardrail against my sin.
Exactly. So that I am not going to do anything bad. I'm just going to read the Bible until
my guardrail against sins is utter exhaustion.
I mean, you're just going to go to bed, right?
Right, exactly. I go to sleep, man.
I mean, and either you will or you won't rub one out, and then you go to sleep. Like, that's it. That's the end of the day. Like, I'm sorry. And
I don't want to do anything like that in China, man. They're watching you 24/7.
And also, now that we know how I feel about hand washing, like.
All right, we got to get out of this. Other dead person.
You don't like this line of discussion? I mean, is it making you uncomfortable?
It's a little bit.
I don't mean to make any of our listeners uncomfortable. Stephen, don't want to make you uncomfortable. But I'm just saying, we're just talking here. We're just having a friendly conversation.
Asking questions.
I'm curious. I just want to know, like, did you ever like open that drawer and say like, oh, all right, the Bible is
here. Thank God the Bible's here.
And now I can read my favorite passages. I feel cleansed. I can revisit my favorite passages. It's like when they ask Trump, like, what are your favorite passages in the Bible? All of them, really. I like all of them. Yeah, I can't point to one. What about a story?
The end.
What about a story? Do you have any stories? Well, really all of them. I mean, how do you mess with the
I like the people who challenge the Bibles in the Florida book ban thing. There's like all kinds of shit in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that, you know, there's incest, there's murder.
There's all kinds of terrible shit.
Yeah, stoning people.
That's got to be banned, man. Moms for Liberty don't want to expose, they don't want to expose their children to the Bible.
Let me ask you a question. Back in the day of the Bible, in biblical times, do people get married? Who was marrying people?
Right.
So we're talking about premarital sex.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe.
Maybe.
Again, we don't know. Were people getting married? Like who was officiating? Who decided, okay, there needs to be an official service in order to recognize the union between these two people? I got a lot of questions today.
Yeah.
I got a lot of questions. All right.
We got other dead people.
We got more dead people. Who else?
Louis Gossett Jr.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
Unexpected. I mean, look, he's 87, I think.
Was he that old? No, he wasn't that old. 78?
No. Hold on a second.
Mayonnaise.
I gotta find this.
The only thing from Texas are steers and queers, and since you ain't got no horns, you must be queer.
I don't think he had a Long Island accent, though. He was 87, bro.
Really?
Yes.
He kind of struck me as a New Yorker.
Yeah, but in that movie, he did not have an accent like that. He really, the arm.
I'm going to go. I'm going on YouTube right now.
The arm is, yeah, a little stronger.
Let's see.
But yes, he was fantastic in An Officer and a Gentleman.
Love lifts us up where we belong. Yeah.
He was quite the actor. We were talking about this earlier, and I reminded
you. You said he was on.
He appeared in several episodes of Good Times.
Here we go.
You gonna play it? Yeah. I don't know if we can hear it. I can't hear that. No,
you can't hear it.
Hold on. No, because your headphones are on.
Yeah. Wait. No. Now it's the ad, man. This is a bummer.
It's good. I don't want to hear the ad. So
all right, I'm skipping the ad.
Yeah. No. No. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
You can't hear it?
No.
Sounds New Yorkery to me.
I don't know. What was his name in that movie?
Oh. I don't know. What was his name?
Sergeant Hulka? Nope, wrong movie.
No. Oh, now I want a Hulka burger.
Yeah. It wasn't mayonnaise either.
No, that was Richard Gere. It was mayonnaise.
You want a Hulka burger with mayonnaise on it. There we go.
Sergeant Emil Foley. Sergeant Foley.
I got nowhere else to go.
I got nowhere else to go. Mayonnaise. Lovely Sasa.
That movie actually is really good.
It's a great movie.
It's great. Yeah.
Movie's a long time ago.
Dude, what was that? 1980?
82.
Close enough.
Wow.
Yeah. That was like the height of the Richard Gere era.
Oh, yeah. Richard Gere was a stud muffin.
Dude. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember American Gigolo?
I never saw that movie, did you? That's even earlier.
That's around the same time, within 2 years.
Hold on, let's look it up.
That I want to say is 1980.
Oh, yeah?
Somewhere in there.
American Gigolo, IMDb. 1980.
There we go. Still there. Yeah, right. So that was his era. That was the height of Richard Gere.
And so you said, you told me that Louis Gossett Jr. was on Good Times?
Yeah, he played Florida's brother in one episode. He may have been in more than one episode as more than one character. Actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They used to do black actors.
They used to do that back in the day. Really? Not just with black actors, like in TV.
Jewish actors, black actors.
They were just bringing people back in different roles, like the same actors. Like, oh, he was really good as Florida's brother, so let's bring him back as somebody else. Like, oh, that's a great idea.
He was the original cool bald dude.
You think?
Yeah.
The original?
The OG, mayonnaise.
What about Mr. Clean? Mr. Clean was the original cool ball guy.
He's not a real person.
Sure. What are you talking about?
He had that earring, Mr. Clean. That was kind of weird. Mr. Clean.
I mean, he was cool. Louis Gossett Jr. had an earring too.
I know, but he was a real human being, not Mr. Clean.
Who else? Who? And we were talking about this, right? Yeah. You mentioned Kojak.
Telly Savalas.
He was a cool ball guy. And of course...
Kojak was a big part of my childhood, I have to be honest. It was like my dad's favorite program.
I think it was everybody's dad's favorite program. And I honestly don't think I ever watched even half a second of it.
My mom will tell stories about how she'd come home, she'd go out and play bridge with her friends.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what she said she was doing.
She was playing bridge.
And my father would be asleep on the couch and I'd be like 4 years old up watching Kojak.
You're like sitting there with the TV on. Reading the Bible.
Out of a lollipop like Telly Savalas.
Reading the Bible that you found in the drawer. Yeah.
Telly Savalas is cool.
I think the original cool ball guy, though, is Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner.
And the Ten Commandments was on last night.
Really? He was Mo.
He was
Big Moses. Oh, no, he was Pharaoh. He was Pharaoh.
Yeah, come on. Oh, Moses with Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston was Moses, that's right.
Yeah.
So Yul Brynner.
Cool ball guy.
Yul Brynner. All right,
I got another cool ball guy for you.
Okay.
I'm going to go a little ethnic.
Okay.
Moshe Dayan. cool ball guy with a patch.
With a patch.
With a patch. He was the original tough Jew. Like,
yeah. And remember, if you go back to season two of the Amen Corner, we decided we were going to have our own dispensary called High Holidays. We were going to have a big poster of Moshe Dayan. Instead of either, you know, Jerry Garcia or, yeah, you know, I don't know.
Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong. We're going to have a big poster of
Let me Moshe ask you, Dayan. How do you remember that that's season two?
It had to be season two. Why? We were hitting our stride. And that was a really funny episode.
That was really what we were hitting.
Because I was in Colorado and I was saying how many dispensaries we had passed from the airport to our location in Winter Park.
Let me just say
that
to give you just a little example of how much times have changed.
Yeah.
The next time you come to my neighborhood,
you just get high walking down the street.
Dude, the number of dispensaries in my neighborhood, I'm talking within a 4-block radius of my house, is out of control.
I told you, I was in New York for the night because I had a morning meeting at CFR, and I walked up Lexington Avenue and I was like, oh my God, I'm stoned.
Yeah, when I walk out on the street, I'll just like inhale. Like heavily, like if I pass him, I'm like, I'm like, am I high?
I'm with the chicks is, can't hold the smoke.
Chicks cannot hold the smoke.
The smoke.
That's the way it is. That's exactly what I'm like walking down the street in New York City there. And everyone's like, what are you doing? Michelle's like, why are you breathing like that? I'm like, I'm trying to get high.
You get home and you're like, I'm so hungry.
So funny.
You go to the fruit man near on your corner. You're like, dude, I'll have like 3 bananas.
And dude, but he's standing there all day getting high off of people just walking past him and like grabbing
He's from
fruit.
Afghanistan, right?
No, he's from Turkey.
Oh, he's from Turkey? I thought he was from Afghanistan.
No, different guy. We used to have a Bangladeshi and he sold his stand to this really nice Turkish guy.
We had a Turkish guy who's actually Kurdish in our neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's Kurdish, but
he loved Maddie. He used to give us like free stuff because he thought Maddie was cute. She's still cute, but she's not like 2 years
old. Always helps to have young kids too.
There's a fruit guy who's on 68th and Lex, who's been there for 20 years because I keep coming back. I started at CFR 20 years ago. He's still there.
Yeah, there was a young guy who worked for the Bangladeshi who like moved around a little bit, but every time he would come back to this block, he'd be so happy. And like we would see him. And like one day he just like handed me, took like a bunch of cherries and just put them in my hand.
Ooh, and cherries are awesome.
I'm like, dude, I can't. He's like, no, take them. I'm like, all
right. So wait, he moved to another fruit stand.
No, he's like an employee. So there are people who have
I wonder how all of this works, right? Like,
it's licensed.
There's got to be, and they have employees. I mean, this is a movie, dude.
Well, it's a little bit too close to Tree Man. Don't you think? It's a little too close to Tree Man.
You do like Cherry Man.
Did I tell you, like a month ago, I was sitting getting my hair cut and somebody walks into the barbershop. It's like on 101st and Broadway.
Yeah.
His cap is pulled down. And he sort of sits behind me. I look, glance in the mirror. I'm like, I know who that guy is. And I finished getting my hair cut and I turn around and he goes, looks good. He thought I didn't know who it was. It was Jason.
Uh-huh.
You remember Francois, Corey, Jason? I'm like, I saw you walk in here. But it's just like, you know, it's the neighborhood. And the woman cutting my hair was like, oh, Jason, he's my son. I'm like, Jason's everybody's son. Yeah. But that's, I don't think I'm going to make a documentary about the people who sell. Yeah, it's not going to be called Fruit Man. Although it's a good name.
It's a good title.
Yeah, Fruit Man. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's happening, but it's, you know, it's worth throwing around. We could spitball it for a little
while. Right.
Did anybody else die? Any other dead people?
I don't know. Lieberman and Louis Gossett Jr. stuck out for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure that anybody else of note died, right. Which is not to say that other people
no one's died,
haven't but died. Like, and I'm sure that some of our detractors would say, you haven't mentioned any of the dead people in Gaza.
Well, I mean,
we haven't.
It's very hard to...
We're not touching that, Steve.
We're not touching that, right?
We're not touching that. We're talking about famous dead people.
Famous dead people. Mayonnaise.
I'll take famous dead people for 400, please, Stephen. Yeah.
Who popularized? Oh, Lieberman. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right.
He caucused with the Democrats, although he no longer called himself one.
I mean, it's kind of amazing that he continued to caucus with the Democrats because he didn't really, I mean.
Identify with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that newsletter that I get, yeah. that you get as well, that Jewish Daily newsletter.
The Jewish Insider?
Yeah.
The Politico Jewish for Insider. Jews? Yeah.
The day after Joe Lieberman died, it said something about, you know, ever since the Democratic Party, like, went. To the extreme left. That's why right. Joe Lieberman. Like, that's why Joe Lieberman was.
It didn't go to the extreme left. In 2000.
But in that.
Yeah.
In that newsletter, that's what it said.
Right.
Right. As if the Democratic Party has adopted like these radical policies.
Right.
Such as making sure that everybody has health care and
right.
you know, infrastructure.
Right.
It's a very radical socialist. Yeah.
By the way, the Yankees are winning 3-1.
I just saw that, actually.
That's pretty good.
There we go.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, but you know what? Every win that they've had has been a comeback win. And the fact that they were leading right, in this one up. Leads me to believe that they're going to lose this game.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
That's how broken we are as people.
I know. You mentioned infrastructure, that whole bridge thing.
Oof, that was brutal.
And now the Republicans are saying, we don't want to pay for it. Some Republican from Pennsylvania.
Wait, what do you mean they don't want to pay for it?
They don't want to pay for the reconstruction of the Key Bridge.
Why?
Because it's socialism, man.
No. But like, what are we supposed to do?
I don't know, but there have been a couple of members of Congress who've said,
You know that these are not serious people.
It's like with Hurricane Sandy. They were like demanding offsets in order to help New York. So you had to cut somewhere else.
Meanwhile, when shit hits Texas or Florida, the money just flows there, and nobody says, like, oh, no, these assholes don't deserve shit. Right. Yeah. And then people want to know why we're so cynical.
And then some Republican Party in Michigan called the mayor of Baltimore like a black communist or something, or an African communist or something. We were sitting in the airport yesterday. My in-laws came with us, and my father-in-law's like reading these headlines. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Not good.
Yeah.
That benefits nobody. All right. I think that's it for this week.
All right.
And we're back. I'm actually traveling this week, but I'll be back for next weekend's podcast.
Sounds good. Say a prayer for the memory of Louis Gossett Jr.
And Joe Lieberman. I'm still not bringing a mask with me when I travel tomorrow.
All right, man. You'll be fine.
Yeah, hopefully. But I will wash my hands after using the bath.
Please do.
I always do.
And, you know, watch out for those Bibles in the hotel room.
As soon as I get to the hotel, I'm texting
you're going to look for the Bible.
I'm texting you a picture of the Bible.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
With the pages.
With your washed hand open.
With the pages stuck together.
All right, on that note,
the racier parts of the Bible.
Oh my God.
If there were a hell, I'd be going to it.
I gotta take a shower.
But there's no hell.
All right.
Go shower and wash your hands when you go.
All right. Talk to it. I'm proud. Bye.